Welcome to the August 27th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is entitled, To Whom Shall We Go? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen, the Associate Pastor of Students and Families here, and we are so pleased that you have joined us for worship this morning. We've already had Sunday school and a big celebration in Smith Hall. I saw a lot of children, youth, and parents, and we had a great time together, and some interesting characters that we talked about and we saw pictures of, and we are so glad that we had the time to celebrate this morning. We do want to make sure that if you're a teacher this morning and that you checked off the attendance, we know that was a little bit late, but we need to get those attendance rolls to the church office before you leave today. So if you can make sure that you fill those out and get those to the church office before you leave church today, that would be great. We do want to make sure who is here this morning. We have a way to find out for everybody to record their record of attendance this morning. We've got pew pads on every pew. We invite you to take those and to fill that out. Members, we ask that you just put your name down and then check the appropriate boxes and any contact information that changes, put that down as well. But also, guests, we want you to fill all the information out on the pew pad as you feel comfortable. Let us know that you are here this morning. We invite you to send those pew pads down the pew so that everybody can sign them, and then to send them back to where they started so our ushers can pick those up after the service. We appreciate you giving us this information, and we will use it to contact you about things that are going on in the life of our church. Reminder about things that are going on today. We are having our service of affirmation, where we recognize students, teachers, and parents during the service today. We are going to have a time of special prayer and recognition for you, just to as the school year has just begun this past week. We want to spend some time asking God's blessing on that. And also, today is our beginning of our prayer partner ministry. As you leave the church past Smith Hall, there are envelopes, blank envelopes. Inside an envelope, it's a sheet of paper with the name of a preschooler, child, youth, or college student in our church. We have about 130 or so that need prayer partners. Now, some of you contacted me about keeping your prayer partner from last year. That's great. They are not in that stack, but there are several children and youth, college students that need adult prayer partners. And what we ask you to do, we don't ask much. What we ask is for you to go down after the service, take an envelope. Inside that envelope will be the name of a young person. And you will pray for that individual for the next year. We ask that you pray for them on a regular basis. There's also the birthday is on there. You know how old they are, who their family members are. We want you to pray for them as well. Pray for them as they go to school and pray for them on special days. Contact them as you feel able. There are phone numbers and addresses and emails on most of the sheets. And this is just a way for adults who are not necessarily connected with the individual child to pray for them on an individual basis. So we hope that anybody who has a regular prayer time or wants to begin one will take an envelope as you leave this morning. We appreciate you being a part of that. And then we want you to come back for Sunday night at the park. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be doing grilling hamburgers and hot dogs out on the lawn, and then we want you to enjoy that meal, and then we will have a time of life together at 7 o'clock, our Life Contemporary Service. We want you to stay for that, and that'll be a great event tonight. Also, this week, we start our Wednesday evening services. We will only have, we'll have our supper as normal, and then our mission groups. Our music groups will start later, and you'll be contacted about that, but our children's mission groups and our youth group will begin this week, so we hope that you'll be a part of that as well. Reminder to our teenagers, we do have an early bird discount sign-up deadline for the fall retreat is today. So if you want to save a little bit of money, get a deposit of $50 in to me today, and that will get you signed up for that. Whew, I think that's all the announcements I got. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We treasure the fact that you have given your time to come to this place and to worship with us. You've already given us your information about how to contact you and that you were here this morning. We have ushers that would like to give you some information. If you're a guest this morning, just raise your hand and they would like to give you an information packet. Inside this packet is information about our church and our regular services and events, as well as our history and what we believe in. This is a great way for you to find out a little bit about College Park. The best way to find out about College Park is experience worship together. And we appreciate you being here this morning. And we pray that this hour of worship will be a blessing for you. We begin most worship services with our invitation to share in worship. It is a responsive reading that you will find in your bulletin. And we invite you now to stand for our invitation to share in worship. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Praise the Lord.
Praise the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Seated.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day you have blessed us with to come and worship you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this time after a long week at work and school to come and enjoy fellowship with one another in your house. We ask you now, God, that you would come into this place and bless this time of worship. We pray, God, that your presence will be felt by each person in this place today. Guide us and strengthen us to be more like you. We love you in your precious Son's holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us share together as we join in the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture. I'll begin this morning the first book of Kings, 1 Kings in the 8th chapter. As you see printed in your order of worship, we'll be looking at several different passages from the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 1. And continuing in verses 6, 10, and 11, 22 through 30, and then 41 through 43. Hear the word of God. Then King Solomon summoned into his presence at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Zion, the city of David. The priests then brought the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven, and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, You shall never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me as you have done. And now, O God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be opened toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, My name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people, Israel, when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people, Israel, but who has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people, Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. And also from the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word.
We come to a special time in our service where we'd like to recognize all those people in our church who will be part of the education of young people this year. We want to recognize students, teachers, administrators, and parents. And there will be a time for each of you to stand as I talk with you. And I would like for you to stand whenever your group is called. And then we will have what I ask for those that don't stand is to recognize those who are standing so that during our guided prayer of affirmation, you've got some faces that you can pray for during that quiet time. So first, when you think of education, when you think of school, it happens at public in the public institutions. It happens at church. But school, Sunday school, regular school, college, is about the students. And if you're a student of any kind, from preschool all the way to college and grad school, will you stand? Church, this is a lot of people. A lot of people who are sometimes struggling to get assignments in, to understand what the teacher wants from them, to know recognize the value of getting an education. Students, I know how hard it is to look at all that you've got to do and to get it done, whether it's elementary school to grad school. But God has given you a gift in the school that you're at. It is a blessing on this earth that we have an education system in the United States and in this church that can provide you the opportunity to see how God has gifted you. And make no doubt that going to school is a way for you to learn how God has made you. What you like, what you don't like, things that you enjoy doing. Take advantage of the opportunity you have been given in this school year. Whether it's in that crazy math class or whether it's in Sunday school, God has so much that He wants to give you and to teach you. And we must be ready and willing to listen. That's my prayer for you. You can have a seat. For teachers, administrators, professors, anybody who's got the job in Sunday school or in public school or private school of teaching or administering young people's education, would you stand? All our Sunday school teachers. And folks, that's a lot of people too. It takes a lot of people to make our education work. I understand, because I live with one, the pressures that you have being a teacher, and the thankless job that you have. Know that you have the support of this church, regardless of where you're teaching, that we are here to encourage you and support you. And when Scripture says you are to love your neighbor as yourself, there is no greater gift that a teacher gives in loving kids and teaching them. We thank you for the time that you give beyond the classroom, whether on Sunday morning or during the week. Our families are thankful that you serve, and you have our blessings and our prayers. You may be seated. Now we invite, if you're a parent of any age student, we invite you to now stand. One of my favorite jobs as children, youth, college minister is I get to play with them and send them home. You guys have them 24/7. And that is a great blessing. And it takes a lot of work. As a church, we love you and we support you. And we are here to do everything we can during this next year to lift your young people up and to teach them. This is a partnership between College Park and you to bring our young people into saving knowledge of Christ. and let them grow in grace and love. Whatever you need and whenever you need it, all you have to do is ask. You have our prayers and our blessings. You may be seated. That's a lot of people who are impacted in one way or another with education this year. And we want to spend a time of affirming these groups of people. And we do this just by spending a few moments in silent prayer where you are. And we will pray for them in that order. And I will prompt you. And if you, as you notice the young people or their parents or the teachers that were around you, during this time of prayer, we invite you to pray for them or pray for your own family. We just want to lift these young people and their teachers and their parents up to God's throne of grace during the next few minutes. Remember when you were in school. Remember all the things that you were responsible for. And consider what the people around you may be going through. Let's affirm them together by praying together. Will you bow with me? We invite you to spend just these next few moments praying for the students that just stood. Pray now. And now spend a moment praying for those teachers and administrators and professors that stood. And now pray for the parents of the students. Our Father God, on this beautiful Lord's Day, we have come together from a variety of places. We have joined our hearts in this time of worship to recognize that you are moving and you are working in the lives of so many people. Especially this morning, we recognize the students, the teachers, the administrators, the professors, the Sunday school teachers, the parents, the grandparents, all the children, youth, and young adults who are in school, whether in Sunday school here at church or at other places. We thank you for the gift of education and the gift of our minds and the ability to learn. You are a mighty God who's, we can never understand all of your ways and how you made this world. But Father, we want to understand more. You created us with a mind and a heart and a soul. And you have something for us to do. Whether it's students that we learn, teachers that we teach, and parents that we nurture. As a church, we affirm all of them. We wish to be a place where they can come and learn and be nurtured and be taken care of and encouraged. Father, we give you this time of worship. And as we think of all the things that you have taught us, we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator.
And I immediately wanted to paint another one.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I saw you feed a stray cat.
And I learned that it was good to be kind to animals.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I saw you make my favorite cake for me.
And I learned that little things
can be the special things in life.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I heard you say a prayer.
And I knew there is a God I could always talk to, and I learned to trust in God.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I saw you make a meal
and take it to a friend who is sick.
And I learned that we all have to help and take care of each other.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I saw you give of your time and money
to help people who had nothing.
And I learned that those who have something should give to those who don't.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I felt you kiss me goodnight.
And I felt loved and safe.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I saw you take care of our house and everyone in it.
And I learned we have to take care of what we are given.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I saw how you handled your responsibilities.
Even when you didn't feel good.
And I learned that I would have to be responsible when I grow up.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I saw tears come from your eyes.
And I learned that sometimes things hurt,
but it's all right to cry.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I saw that you cared.
And I wanted to be everything I could be.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I learned most of life's lessons that I need to know.
To be a good and productive person when I grow up.
When you thought I wasn't looking,
I looked at you
and wanted to say thanks
for all the things I saw.
When you thought I wasn't looking.
In your bulletin, you will find the Service of Affirmation Covenant as an insert that you have. It is a great thing to see young people to grow and to lead into worship. It's a great thing to see teachers teach and that light bulb comes on. It's a great thing to see parents smile on graduation day. To think all the things that have happened to get them to that point. We want to spend the next few moments doing this responsive reading. There is a place for parents, for teachers, and for students, and then for all of us at the very bottom. This is our Service of Affirmation Covenant. By our faith in Jesus Christ, we are claimed as God's own and brought into a new community. Today we gather to celebrate the nurturing and teaching aspects of our faith community. Parents, you have been given the privilege of primary care for your children. At dedication, you agreed to teach and model for them a faith based on Scripture, the Apostles' Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Even now, as they are given additional opportunities to grow in faith with others, do you promise to continue in partnership with teachers and other church leaders through active support and involvement in specific tasks, modeling a Christian lifestyle at home?
Yes.
Teachers, you have accepted the privilege of nurturing children, youth, and adults in our faith community to increase their understanding of God's boundless love, acceptance, and forgiveness through Bible stories and learning activities. Do you promise to join in partnership with others in this faith community to affirm a lifestyle of faith and service?
Yes.
Children, on your dedication day, we welcomed you as a member of God's family, and we all said yes to helping you learn what that means. But your attitude and your willingness to learn and grow are the keys to your faith development. Do you promise to come willingly to learn and grow with others? At each dedication, we have joined together in surrounding children and their parents in a covenant for faith development. Do we all as a church promise to continue your support and involvement? Yes. Let's pray together. Father, on this day we commit ourselves to you. We commit to playing our role in the educating of our young people. If we're a child or a youth or a college student, we commit to learning and coming prepared to learn, whether at church or at school. We recognize it is a privilege, and we will come ready to learn. Give us the strength that when we don't feel like it, that we become ready to learn. And for our teachers, our administrators, our professors, those who teach in church and outside of church, you have given them the task to teach, to open up understanding in the eyes of their students. We lift them up in their challenging profession. Whether it's opening up the laws of physics or the Ten Commandments, we lift them up. And for the parents and for the grandparents who are the nurturers of their children, we ask for strength and for guidance and for wisdom. And for our church family, to continue encouraging and strengthening all those students, teachers, and parents. You are a good God who gives us so many blessings. And we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for this place where we can come together as a family to worship you and to glorify your name. Most of all, we thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. And now we bring our offerings to you. Bless each gift and use it in accordance to your will. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This morning, we're going to finish up John chapter 6. And some of you are probably saying, hallelujah, we've been here for about a month, and we have. But it's a very rich chapter, and today we're going to finish it up by virtue of the fact that we'll run out of verses and run into chapter 7. So this is our last day on John chapter 6, but I want to back up just a little bit to some verses that we read last week to kind of set the stage for the main text or the primary text for this morning. So we'll be reading in John chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 56, a difficult passage that we dealt with last Sunday morning. So if you missed that and want to know a little bit more about that passage, we're on the web. You can go and download that message, and have questions, let me know. But verse 56 this morning, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. And he said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. And on hearing this, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him." He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." May God bless the reading of his word. There's a book. It was edited, compiled, written by a lady named Patricia O'Connell Killen and a gentleman named Mark Silk. And it's entitled Religion and Public Life in the Pacific Northwest. Now that sounds like a fun read, doesn't it? But the subtitle of the book is a little bit more interesting sounding. It's The Nun Zone. Now this is N-O-N-E, not the N-U-N, okay? It's N-O-N-E as is nothing, not a, the Nun Zone. And the back cover of the book, actually there's a sentence that kind of explains what's going on. And it says this, when asked about their religious identification, more people answered none in the Pacific Northwest than in any other area of the United States. Actually, it is kind of an interesting read, if you are so inclined. It is actually pretty interesting. And one of the points that's made by the authors as they're presenting all the data is the fact that having choice looms extremely large for those who checked something other than none. The idea that they had a choice. Church affiliation is not a given in our culture. It's not an expectation. It's not even a tradition anymore. The idea that was presented over and over again is there is a choice. That's not particularly new. It's not particularly unique to the Pacific Northwest United States. Go back and read in Joshua chapter 24. There's an interesting passage there. And you've heard it, I'm sure. You've heard it taught and you've heard it read. But as Joshua and the tribes of Israel are poised, they're there and they're ready to possess the land that's been promised to them. The land that has been promised and the land that they have fought to claim. And they're poised there. And you would think, given what they now know is before them, that they could kind of just, sigh of relief. 40 years in the wilderness. Finally, Here we are. All the battles, we can relax now. But Joshua says to them, no, you can't relax. It's time to choose. He says you must choose between the gods of the Amorites. You must choose between the gods that inhabited the land, quote unquote, where Father Abram and Mother Sarah, where they left from. You must choose from the gods of Egypt that almost sucked the life out of you. Or you must choose the God who brought you to this land. Joshua got it. He understood. He understood that none zones are few and far between. And so as they're standing there, he recognized that the problem for religious people is not the death of gods, but the multiplicity of gods. You see, it's not the absence in contemporary life that's the issue. It's the relevance, the felt relevance. That's the issue. I believe that most people in our culture, people that you've probably had experiences with, you may have even had a conversation with someone this week. The problem, the people that opt for none, the problem they see is with that last issue, relevance. Relevance of God or relevance of a faith community for their own life. And let's face it, as church, and when I say church, I'm talking about the church, the big church, the whole church. I'm not talking about specifically College Park, but if it applies to us, we need to apply it, right? But the problem is churches kind of add to that problem, that whole thing of relevance, because people may come into our church and they're looking for spiritual inspiration or they're looking for a holy encounter. And what they encounter is an argument about the color of the carpet. Or something else that's completely insignificant. They may come seeking new ways and new partners to minister to other people in our community or another community. They may want help with that, new people to network with and do ministry. And what they find maybe are people that are too lazy or too selfish to help. They may come into a church and they're in search of a place where they can belong. They can feel accepted. And all they hear is arguments about who really belongs. None can become an understandable choice if they've experienced any of those things in church. None can be an understandable choice until it comes time for a child to be married. Until it comes time for a loved one to be buried. You see, marriages are typically not performed by none. Funerals are not officiated or hosted by none. Those are times of crises where we can minister. And Peter, as he says the words in John chapter 6, understand that that's a time of passage. That's a time of crisis that he responds to. And his response to Jesus in our text this morning becomes a very lively question. It becomes a very relevant question for us. Peter says, to whom shall we go? Look around you. Look around you this morning. Not just at the unusual furniture or windows that don't look like your living room or your favorite restaurant. Look beyond that. Look with spiritual eyes and see some of the memories that are embedded in this place. People who came seeking a place of sanctuary, a place of acceptance, a place for worship. Maybe many of you came not knowing really what you were looking for, but you found Christ. You found a holy God in this sanctuary. Many of you may have even come while you still had your check mark in the nun box. And this is a place where you felt acceptance, both from a community of faith and from a holy God. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall I go? You have the words of life. Peter's response was out of a conflict. It was probably external as well as internal conflict. You see, the troops were deserting. Jesus had been teaching some very tough things. And they were difficult to hear. And John, as he records in verse 68, says, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. That's in verse 66, excuse me. And that leads us up to the question. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go is not a question with only one possible answer, then or now. To whom shall we go is not a question that the church has a monopoly on the answer anymore. You see, we live in a culture where there are multiple choices. There's always another guru out there. There's always another cult that arises. There's always a new way of thinking that arises. See, spirituality is at an all-time high. Pollsters tell us that people are interested in spiritual things. But spirituality and Christianity are not the same thing, necessarily. You see, people may be choosing what they think meets their needs. They're shopping. They take all the religions and all the spiritual disciplines and they put them into one bowl. And then they sort through the bowl. And they find the one that meets their needs. They find the one that they think is most relevant to their life. So to whom shall we go? Perhaps the most important question is, to whom will we go? See, discipleship, following, they're acts of the will. The will. Peter asked the question, to whom shall we go? And it's actually a question that's asked to answer a question. Because Jesus had already asked the primary question in verse 67. He says, are y'all going to leave me too? Do you all want to leave me? You don't want to leave me, do you? And the word want in this question is actually a very weak translation of the verb which means to will. The world is full of options. There's religious options, social options, culture. The world is full of options. And we have to make a decision on our will. Our will must choose what we'll do. Who will follow? What will think? What will say? To whom shall we go? That's what Peter asks. Now, Peter opts for Jesus in this case. He says, in you we find the words of life, eternal life. But remember, this choice is not necessarily a once and for all kind of choice, as is evidenced in the life of Peter. Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. Later, Peter says, oh, I would lay down my life for you. And in the courtyard, outside of the interrogation hall, Peter denied that he even knew him. Not once. Three times. He made a choice. He made a choice to deny. You see, Peter found out something in that courtyard that probably most of us have already found out also. To whom shall we go has other options. Has easier options. Has safer options. Students, young people, college students. I've said over and over and over, it's probably the hardest time in the history of America, maybe the world, to be a teenager, to be a young adult. You are exposed to so much stuff. You are exposed to stuff in prime time that nice people didn't even want to think about 25 years ago. And you've got it right there in front of you. How do you choose? How do you make those choices? You know, I've always been kind of straight with you. And I'll be honest with you. I think you all are ready to take to the next level. I believe that. I've got confidence in you. You're going back to school tomorrow and you're going to encounter people that have spent the entire summer moving further away from any kind of decision to accept Christ, let alone make Him Lord of their life. They've moved further. They've spent 3 months going in the opposite direction. Now, I believe firmly that you all as individuals and you all as a group have grown closer in your walk with Christ this summer. Don't you believe that? Don't you sense that in your own walk, in the walk of those around you? Okay, but your friends have chosen the nun zone, a lot of them, this summer. So what do? How do you help them? That is the choice that you make every day, every single day as you go to class. You make a choice to follow Jesus, to be significant in the life of someone else, to help them see the choices you have made are the healthiest choice, are the best choices for eternity. You can do that. Because, see, your friends think by not choosing, they're off the hook. Just go with the flow. You know, don't, you know. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're what? Against me. They don't get that. They need someone with the courage to stand up and say, it's about your walk with the Lord. Forget all those other people. You need to settle this thing between you and God. Eternal life is at stake. Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. Parents, adults, we have the same choices. We should be modeling for our young people, our college students, our preschoolers, our children. We should be modeling for them what it looks like to choose Jesus daily. Daily. We say we're too busy. We say we're too distracted. I would challenge you to weigh what you think is busy against eternity and see how important it really is. How? Sorry, I just stepped on my own toe. See, we make those choices. Following Jesus is a choice of the will. Again and again and again. From class to the next class to the next class sometimes. From 1 minute to the next sometimes. But it is a choice of the will that we make. The good news is, and the grace of it all, is that even when our choices and even when our will betray us, God's grace does not. Grace does not excuse our failings. But grace simply and profoundly receives with open arms all those who answer, to whom shall I go, with the choice and the will to follow Jesus. Not because it's the traditional thing to do. Not because mom and dad did it. Now true, the modeling is important. But it's a personal relationship. It's a personal choice. Not because it's the traditional thing to do, because that may not be the case. Not because it's the acceptable thing to do, because young people, it probably will not be the case. Not even because we get a chance to be a part of a growing and vibrant community, because that is not necessarily the case anymore. But the reason we make that choice is because in Jesus we find the words of life. And in those words, the grace for living. So it's our choice. To whom will you go? Jesus or none? It really is that simple. Let's pray to the Father. Dear God, you've presented to us hard teachings. But Father, the choice really isn't that difficult. And we know that in our hearts. If we'll keep our eyes on you, the choice should not be that difficult. But yet, as we've seen in the life of Peter, because of the external pressure, because of peer pressure, because of life circumstance, whatever we want to call that, sometimes we make the wrong choices. But we know your grace is sufficient to wrap your arms around us again when we make the wrong choice and say, Father, forgive me. And you stand ready to do that and restore us to relationship with you. Father, help us to claim that this morning. Father, to covenant with you to make right choices in our life each morning to prepare ourselves by choosing to follow you that day. Each time we're faced with a difficult decision, give us the recall to know that we've already chosen that day to follow you. Father, we know that your Holy Spirit walks with us, that your Holy Spirit gives us the power and the strength. But Father, we have to claim that for our own lives. So we pray now that we would come to your throne, open our hearts and our minds to you. Surrender our will to you. so that we can indeed choose to follow Jesus Christ, who gives us the words of eternal life. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. I hope that from this point, you understand that it is a choice. You can choose to follow Christ or not. I hope that you have already made the primary choice in your life, and that is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have not, that's step one. Make no mistake. There's no following Him until you accept Him. So let's make that clear. If you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to get that settled this morning. I would love to share with you how you can receive Christ. I really would. During the time of invitation, be glad to talk with you and pray with you if you've not received Christ yet. If you have received Christ, but you feel like maybe I've made some bad choices and I seem to be in a pattern of making bad choices, you can go to God and share that with Him. Talk to Him right where you are. Say, God, I'm stuck in this pattern of making bad choices, either in my friends, in the associations that I have, difficult choices at work or at school. I just seem to be caught in a pattern of making bad choices. God can give you the strength if you'll surrender your will to Him. But then you have to let Him work through you and remind you to make the right choices. You can do that where you're seated, or if you'd like to come to the front and kneel here at the front and settle that with God in a word of prayer. Perhaps you're a prayer warrior who would like to come pray for our students, pray for our parents, pray for our educators, pray for all of us as we try to support and love one another to make right choices. We invite you to come and pray. If you'd like to be a part of this congregation, it is a vibrant and growing community of faith, and we invite you to be a part of that by many ways that we receive people. And we'd love to share with you the different ways. So whatever your decision is, we invite you to make it as we stand and sing together now.
Thank you.
I want to remind you as you leave, if you'd be willing to accept a prayer partner, would you take an envelope on the table as you go out of the hallway, the main vestibule? If you would do that, that would help change the life of a young person, knowing that you're praying for them and you're supporting them. I challenge you to do that if you'd be willing to follow through with that. I also want to remind you to come back this afternoon. It's going to be a beautiful evening. And we're going to cook hamburgers and hot dogs and eat all the fixings and love on each other. It's going to be a great time for Sunday night at the park. And then invite you, of course, to stay at 7 o'clock for our life service. Have a great week. Let's close in a word of prayer together. Dear Father, we are so thankful for the chance to be together, to hear your word proclaimed. Father, to seek your guidance in our own lives. Give us courage and strength for this day and for this week. And give us an opportunity to share the basis of our faith, why we trust you. It's in your precious Son's name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.